Lord, I just praise you, Lord. I thank you for all these trials you're putting us through. I know on the other side of it, it's going to be awesome. And I know during it, Lord, it's going to be awesome because you said we're to rejoice in all things. And that's what I'm doing. I'm just rejoicing, Father, because I know that things are going to be better the next day. It's always good, Lord, because we got you. We got you with us. You're always with us. We don't go nowhere. You stay right here with us, Lord. You watch me. You're holding our hands everywhere we go. And I praise you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you're with everybody in this outreach too, Lord. And that we always have our eyes focused on you, Lord. We don't have our eyes focused on any kind of circumstance that comes up around it, but we have our eyes focused on you. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your anointing tonight to speak the things that you'd have us to speak. And, Lord, I thank you for guiding us and leading us and teaching us these things that we need to know, Lord. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Well, I'm going to ask y'all to believe with me while I pray. We found some more things that haven't really measured up on the website yet, for lack of a better explanation. I don't think it's anything that anybody's done other than when we switched over from one to the other, that there was some syncing going on or some things that got out of whack. And, of course, we're working on it. Hopefully everything will be up here in the next few days. The videos are we're having trouble with those. Having trouble with the podcast again. So we're working on it. So, Lord, I just thank you for giving Casey and Brandy and all of them wisdom that are working on this thing. And give them great wisdom, Lord, to go ahead and fix this thing and get it up on site where people will be blessed by all the teachings, Lord. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, that this is going to be a quick and easy fix for Casey and Brandy, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Anybody else? So if you haven't noticed, we do have, excuse me, hiccups. I don't have the hiccups in the name of Jesus. You got to go. Okay, go ahead, Leon. Can't hear you. You want me to unmute you? You're not unmuted. Okay, I'll do it. For some reason, you're on the telephone. You got to do it on the telephone. I don't know. You're not unmuting here. Okay. Got a technical problem. All right, anyone else?
Can you hear me now, Michael?
Oh, yes, I can.
Okay. All right. Well, I got a computer problem too. You heard me talk about me taking my computer apart and putting it back together. I got a couple of issues with the sound, of course, with the sound, and just a couple of small issues. I can get on it and I can get this, but I can't hear and so on, or it's real low. So if you pray with me and we'll ask the Lord if he'll heal that for me. I took it apart tonight and put it back together, but it still doesn't work. So I don't know what I've done to make it bad. But anyway,
can you listen through a headset?
No, I plugged that in too, and it was no better. I can hear it from the
telephone.
From the speakers on the laptop, but it's really, really low. And I got everything turned up as high as I can, and it's still low. And I didn't want to get on and not hear at all. So anyway. Well, let's pray. Father God, we just we come to you, Lord God, and you know all the problems that I've had with this computer, and I'm trying to fix them, Lord God, but I just don't have the technology in my head to do that, Lord God. So I ask that you would heal it, you would fix it, that it would function properly, and I could hear properly, and everything would work right. And I know that salvation includes even this computer working right for me. So in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. We command that computer sound and microphone to operate just like it's supposed to in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Father, that it is going to do that. It's already done that in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for fixing Leon's computer completely. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Get him a better camera, too. He's still ugly. No, I'm just kidding. Oh, man. I need one myself. I need a good camera that'll get me looking better. All right. Anybody else? I got a little praise report. Yeah.
Okay. I'm sorry. I did have something really to say. After everybody left last night, Sandy had sent me to town in the van, go get some, drink. And I noticed I was a little low on gas in the van. So I went on over to the gas station there at Walmart, and I pulled up, and then I got out of it, and the guy comes across, this young, I'm guessing 30-ish gentleman come across in front of me to go pay for his gas, and he kind of, nods head like, hi, what's up, kind of hi, and he went around and paid for his gas, and I got out, I went to go pay, and he come back, and he was asking me about the up conversion, there's an overhead part of the van. And I kind of explained what it was. There was a TV and VCR in there. It's pretty much like a touring van is what it is. And I opened up the hatch and I showed it to him. He says, that's a lift. And I said, yeah, it's for my wife for her power wheelchair. And, he kind of like, oh, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I'm a CNA. I work in a nursing home part-time. And he says, really? He says, I'm a nurse too. He goes, just for a little bit. He goes, wow. And it was really a good conversation. We had he stays home and takes care of his wife. She just got out of, she's former military. She had a brain tumor in the back side of her head. When they removed it, it took part of her eyesight in the left side of her body. Has problems. It's like she had a stroke. And we talked for a while. I told him I took care of my wife. I take care of mama. And, he was like, wow, we had a lot in common, with all the nursing stuff. And he was, it was cool. And I said, I have a feeling I just wasn't brought over here for mass. And he goes, what? He goes, you go to church? I said, really? People, we meet at my house. He's like, really? He goes, we're devout Christians too, man. I mean, it's like, it just lit up. And I was like, I know I didn't come over here just for gas now. And he's like, wow. He goes, I've got 5 kids. He's a middle-aged boy, has autism. And, he showed me pictures from Facebook. And we got together that way. And then I pulled around to Walmart because I was going to go in and he went back to his car. I got my gas. We went back around there, and I pulled into front of the Walmart, and then he pulls right in front of me, and he gets out, and I was like, what's up? He was like, and you left. I didn't even get you to introduce you to my wife. So he got her out of the car and they came in, you know, they came up and introduced her to me and everything. And he was like, I was like, wow, okay. And the Lord's telling me, you've got a sovereign God book there. Give it to him. So I turned around and I gave it to him. And he was like, oh, man, this is going to be good. And I said, And I told him a little bit about David and everything. And I was like, oh, yeah, hey, because Sandy wanted me to go to Sonic. So I went on over there. And, man, it was cool. And it was just like, wow. And I knew God had for a reason for us to meet. And they've got a house, and they live over right there in front of Hiawassee. They're the Coopers. They're really, really nice Christian people. But I was like, wow. So we exchanged numbers and everything today after getting on Facebook. And, Lord, I just pray that, you know, you lead them, Lord. Heal that wife of his, Lord. And keep them turned toward you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them into my life and maybe, you know, bring them into UBM as well, Lord. I really thank you, Lord, for these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Really cool. Really, really nice people.
Awesome.
I don't know where they go to church or anything of that nature either.
Yeah. Well, once they read Sovereign God, they'll come into that truth that if they don't have that religious spirit, they'll be fine.
Yeah,
we ask Lord that you open up their mind's eye to see the truth in that book, and that they would get in the Word themselves, Father. We thank you for that, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yep, that they just had a newborn baby like 3.5 weeks ago too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
okay.
Interesting
hope. Yeah. Thank you, Jeff.
That was my share.
Okay, bud. Good to see you. Okay. Patrick, did I see your hand up a while ago?
No, but I'll take it.
Okay.
I just started a job. A couple days, well, Monday, today, Tuesday, Monday. And so it's like, I don't know if anybody lives up in the northeast part of the country up here, but the overall general culture is that of tension. And I remember when I was living in Oklahoma, I was working as a field tech service for security company or phone, and I was doing phone systems and whatnot. And I had the opportunity to call on related to the systems that I was installing. Sometimes we'd have problems, so I would call customer service, and if you got an 800 number, and sometimes, and that 800 number would of course take you anywhere in the country, wherever they were answering calls at the time. Some of these companies are fairly big manufacturing companies, and I always hated to get picked up by a service tech and in the Northeast, either New Jersey or New York or something like that, because of the fact that it was an interesting thing. I just noticed it, that if you got somebody on the West Coast, they were very, and I'm from Oregon and originally, so I grew up, was born and raised there. So, but On the West Coast of the country, everything's kind of laid back, relaxed. You call out there, and everybody, you know, the usual response is, "Hey, how you doing? What's the weather? How'd you get out there? in Oklahoma or whatever, you know, and they'd strike up a conversation, want to know how everything is, you know, what's happening there. If you call the Northeast, you get somebody from this part of the country. It was always a very tense. It was a to the point, and it was, you had a feeling like you were disturbing that person whose job it was to give you assistance and help. That you felt as though you were taking up their valuable time. And they just wanted you to get the question out so we can get this thing over with and move on to the next one, you know. So I always said in my heart, you know, I will never live east of the Mississippi. I always heard that you were never supposed to say never, because the Lord usually hits that target, you know. But anyway, the tension out here, I came to realize that it's, matter of fact, I was just talking to a guy today about it, because I think there is a lot of tension here. It's a very fast moving, efficient, effective, people moving all the time and people texting while they're talking to you and all kinds of stuff. It's just a different culture out here. And people have learned to adapt to it and adapt to that tenseness and that constant pressure all the time. And so you tend to get conversations that people are very short with you and very outwardly, I'm not going to say abusive, but very abrupt and in your face type of thing. But I realized that it's only a part of culture. It's kind of the culture out here, and people on the inside are not that way. They might be feeling the effects of the societal pressure around them, but inside they're people. I mean, they're people with pain, and they're people with hurt. They're people, you know, that need help just like everybody else. But there's that exterior veneer of strength and power and protection and whatever that's around everybody out here. So I know God has called me up here for a particular reason. And so one of the reason I bring it up is I've started this job, and I'm really starting kind of another phase or a new phase in my life. And I just want to give the Lord the opportunity to use me however he can in this situation. And so the reason I bring it up is because I know in the last few weeks I've been talking about, you know, the Lord showing me that I have been covering or holding down or the truth or the light, experience, the life that he has given me. And for one reason or the other, I have gone introvert and tried to, and I guess put a cap on that. And I think it was done as kind of a protective barrier type of thing, kind of a thing where I just kind of tuck and run, you know. I kind of hold everything in and protect myself and just get through this life and whatever. But I feel like the Lord is bringing me into a new phase of life and just an expression and just a pulling off of the lid of that covering that I have intentionally in some cases put over my life. And so I guess I'm voicing this for a prayer request for myself. And I was thinking about that, this one of the scriptures. By the way, this is just kind of a general question. because I really don't, I haven't been associated here with the group for that much. So I don't know, does everybody use like ESORD, a Bible study program, or just read out of the hard Bible, or is everybody aware of the ESORD program? Yeah. Okay. All right. So a lot of times I make references.
There's a lot of different types of ESORDs. If you didn't know that, there's one for Mac, one for iPad, one for Android, one for PC, and they're all different for whatever reason.
Right. And the nice thing about it is that you can, obviously, you can download these various Bibles and translations, and but the best thing is the dictionaries and the Strong's concordance numbers or whatever, so you can actually see the words, understand and define the words that are written there. Because I was thinking about that the other day. One of the words that I'm not going to say mistranslated, but it's used many times, is the word for authority and the word for power, and they get interchanged quite a few times in the scripture in the New Testament. And obviously, if you've done, you know, a study on them, the authority is much different than power, and how each one is used is important. So, and I was just reading about some of the stuff there the Bible couple of days ago related to that, but it was kind of interesting. The Lord gave me and when he kind of showed me the importance of that, is that one day he kind of gave me a word picture, and it was a kind of a picture of a pastor preaching up in front of the congregation. And I take this as back when I was in, a fundamental, one of the fundamental congregations or denominations. And the pastor standing up in front of the congregation, he looks to the back and somebody comes through the back door, and he said, "Oh, look, a long hair just came in the door." And if you would have been sitting in the church that I was in at that time, if you were sitting in the pew, you might have turned back around to look to the back and expecting to see somebody with hair that came down and was touching his ears. Or if you would have been from my generation, you would have probably turned around expecting to see somebody with hair down to here, because that was my definition of long hair. Or if you would have been, if there would have been somebody in the congregation that was sitting, that was educated in classical music, they may have been looking to see somebody coming in the door with a white-haired wig that came down around, like the, you know, George Washington in those days, because there was a long hair music or whatever. That was a classical music, and I think kind of indicated a certain time frame in our history. But the point that the Lord was getting through to me was that people, definitions of words change, and they mean things to different people. So in order to get the correct understanding of his word, you need to understand what he was thinking, what he meant when he verbalized or gave us those particular words, so that if we understand what those words meant, we can more clearly understand what he was thinking when he actually voiced them, and what the point that he was trying to get across. And And so lo and behold, it was about a week later after he started showing me this, one of my friends in the church gave me a Strong's Concordance. And of course, at that, I never knew that sort of thing even existed, but obviously the Strong's Concordance will allow you to define the Greek and the Hebrew words and give you kind of a basic definition of what those words mean. So it's very important. And unfortunately, I went down this path on this tangent, and I forgot what I was going to say. But I guess my one question, my prayer request tonight would be that the Lord would bring forth boldness out of me, a releasing of the covering, and a filling of His Spirit, of the Holy Spirit within me, and allow that which is Him to come out of me and overcome the negatives and the hindrances of the flesh that are on the outside. And one thing that He showed me, I was reading in Psalm 23, and He said, David said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake." And then this is where I'm at. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." And I know that I have to fight against it in my life, that fear, there's a fear or intimidation or whatever that's just naturally in there in that flesh that wants to hold me back from being bold in God's word, from being bold and stepping out in the opportunities that He brings forth in my life. And that fear only is allowed to dwell because of the fact somehow I get away from the fact that the Lord says that He is with me. "For Thou art with me. I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." And so I guess my one of my prayers and requests tonight is to be rejuvenated in the faith and in the strength of confidence that God is with me, even in these times, even in this fear of that is accompanies the shadow of death and the unknown and everything else, and just to the strength to stand out upon His word and trust in His ability. So that's my prayer request.
Amen. Yeah, you got some people up there. George is up there about as far northeast as you can get and still be in the United States. So.
Where you at, George? Hey, George.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I experienced the same thing. I'm a South Georgia boy, and I've been out to Oklahoma and everywhere. But when I moved to Maine, I've actually had people almost hit the panic button because they thought just from me talking to them that Duck Dynasty was coming to get them. I've had to explain to my boss, you know, she didn't understand why people were so, you know, really kind of scared of country people or something. And I told her, I said, "This is a reaction I've had before up here. As soon as they hear you talk with a southern accent or something, it just draws these weird scenarios in their head or something. But it hasn't happened in a long time, and I've got a good track record anyway with these people, so they know I'm just here to serve.
Amen. Amen. Hey, I'll get that down here, George. All right. Well, Lord, we just lift up Pat to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you placed him up there for one reason, and that's to learn and to mature in you, Lord. And, Lord, we thank you that he does know that you're there with him all the time. You haven't left anywhere. You're still there. You're his best friend, Lord. And as long as we can keep our eyes focused on you, Lord, all the other things don't make a bit of difference in the world. And Father, we just praise you for the work that you're doing in Pat. And Lord, we just thank you that he's going to have favor up there with all the people around him, because they're going to see that light of Christ in him. They're going to wonder, what in the world is this? What has this man got, you know? And then he'll be able to open up and tell them, well, you know, humbly, that is Jesus. Jesus gives all to his people that understanding and that light that they like to see. Lord, we thank you for a wonderful experience up there for Pat, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, all right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe, go ahead, brother. Joe Britt.
Michael, I'm not sure if there's any connection between the hijacking on the website and that, but it's about a month now. I haven't received any request on through the website. I'm not sure if there's a link to it. I'm not sure if Leon receives requests or not. I haven't received any for a month now, but it's the first time I'm doing that.
You talking about the Bible studies?
No, the request for material.
Oh, okay. Well, Joe, I don't know what's going on there either, but like I was talking about before, we're having issues with the site now, and yeah, we've got people working on it, and I guess the best thing to do, Joe, is to send an email to me explaining what's going on or not going on, and I'll hand it to Brandy and Casey and see what they could do with it, okay?
Okay, I'll do it.
Okay, that'd be good. And anybody else, if you find something that's wrong with the website, if you just send me or David, either one, an email, or Robin, an email about what's wrong. Now, I tell you what's wrong right now is that the regular updates aren't exactly like they were before, but we're straightening that out. But they are on there, the weekly Bible studies. They're on there, but they may not look in the same way. What else? The videos are having trouble with those too. So that's another thing that we're having trouble with, is the Bible teachings, 1 hour videos. And also the podcasts, we're still working with that. We had them going there for a little bit, and then something happened. I don't know what it is, and that's all over my head. We're working on all of this stuff. That's what I know about this that's messed up right now. But if you come across anything else, just let us know, and take a look at it. Okay, anyone else? I tried to access the Hidden Manna video section, and that didn't work for some reason. Well, that's just like I said, we're having trouble with the videos. And, Joe, so just hang in there, and hopefully we'll get that in the next day or so, get that fixed up. The YouTube videos are also, there's a lot of them missing, And Brandy's going to be working on that, trying to get those back up. So anyway, we're working on it. We're doing the best we can right now.
Michael, do you know how it was hacked?
By a hacker, maybe? I don't know.
I mean, are you familiar? Do you know who?
Yeah, I know who did it. We know who did it. There's no use in going into it now. We're going to fix it. And it's going to be better this after we get through than it was before. So that's all we need to know right now. We're praying for them. It was somebody that factioned out. They left and did some stuff, but that's okay. God always helped us before. He said after this little deal like we're going through now, that the resurrection is going to be even better than it was before. So we're looking forward to it.
Amen.
And looking forward to the anointing of the man child here shortly too. I think that was in a dream that when the website resurrected man child. I don't know, some of that good stuff. All that good stuff's going to happen. I hope. You know, every day we always think that tomorrow's going to be the day. You know, tomorrow's going to be the day. You know, it can't go much further along. It can't. And here I am, almost 7 years into this, being up here, and some of you know what we're talking about. But you know, it's all in God's timing. And if we keep our eyes focused on God and Jesus, we don't have to worry about the time. He don't have any time frame. You know, he's not in time. He's not encapsulated in that little time thing that we are. But we don't have to worry about it. We just keep our eyes on him and know that he's in us and he's guiding us and everything's going to be just lovely. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right, anyone else? Got a testimony or praise report or prayer request? Well, all right. I guess we can go on and get into anybody got a good word from the Lord this week, a good verse or whatever that we can expound on and do like we did the last few weeks. Ooh, I got one. Go ahead, George.
Am I in there? Hey, this one came pretty easily, and I pretty much just put my finger down on it, and it's Hebrews 11:39-40 in that area, and I've lately been digging into a lot of those anyways, just kind of trying to put myself in their shoes, all of those heroes of the faith and what they endured and went through and everything else. But 11:39 says, "And these all, having had witness borne to them through their faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us, they should be made perfect." And I just thought that, you know, sometimes we go through something where we know we've heard God, or we've got a promise we're standing on. We know that we can trust God. And he's doing something better that we can't see. And this just gave me encouragement, especially when it talks about us being made perfect, but not a part. It makes me feel like I'm part of a body, that if one of us is hurting, we're all hurting. There's no difference in the amount of pain we go through with each other. There's no difference in the amount of joy that we experience when the body is rejoicing. And I just think that God is knitting the body of Christ, the universal body of Christ, together so strongly that if part of the body's persecuted, that the part that has freedom can lean in and provide comfort in prayer and praying in spirit, and I just feel like there's a prioritization in the body to do spiritual things and forego some of the entertainment and the hobbies or anything else besides just doing the work and running the race. So that it encouraged me. I hope y'all got something out of it, maybe.
Amen. Anybody else want to expand on what he's, comment on what George was talking about there in Hebrews 11, 39, 40?
What verse was that again, George?
Hebrews 11, 39, and 40. It's right after a long list of the people of faith in the Old Testament, and right before putting on, or right before talking about the cloud of witnesses and laying aside all those weights and sins and running the race.
I received Hebrews 26 this morning, 11:26. That's what I was asking. So it looks like Hebrews 11 is a good place to hang out for a little bit here. Mine said, calling the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, he looked unto the recompense of reward. That's ASV version. Let's go with something a little easier than that.
So 11:39 and 40?
I got 11:26 today.
Oh, okay. I thought you...
Sorry. So, right in Hebrews there in 11.
But 11's a faith chapter, you know.
Yeah, it said, and this is talking about Moses. I guess I'll go back up to 24. By faith, I'm using the ESV version. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasure of sin, or pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward.
What version are you reading?
That's the English Standard Version.
Okay, I got you.
Well, I'm just looking at that and seeing, you know, we're all faced with life here, and we all can look at the world and put our eyes on the world like and want to be drawn into it. But Moses had a heart towards God and serving God, doing what was right with the people of Israel. And so he took that reproach of Christ, which even he didn't even know Jesus. But he knew him in his heart. You know, I don't know if he knew who Christ was then. But he says he took the reproach of Christ, a greater wealth than treasures of Egypt. Interesting. He knows his Messiah. So he's looking forward to that kingdom that hasn't come yet. I'm thinking, you know, right now we're going to be faced with that same idea. Because we're seeing a lot of terrible things happen now around us. And we're kind of wondering what is, you know, like Michael's talking, it's been 7 years and waiting for that day to start up. When's it going to come, Lord? And good chance we're going to get reproached pretty good for our faith. You know, got Pat talking about looking for those opportunities in life. You know, come on, Lord, I want to get out of my shell. I want to witness. And I was watching a little bit of Torben Sondergaard today. He had a few videos there, a couple of them that were really pretty pointed. I really like listening to the guy sometimes. He's got some good stuff. He says, one of his videos, he had three pieces of advice on how to be effective in winning people to Christ. And then he talks on another one, the sinner's prayer. Is it biblical? you know, he's tackling these things as we as Christians face when we're thinking about talking to others. And we're always, at the same time, we're trying to keep our eyes on the world when we're thinking about these people because we're trying to figure out how to talk to them. And with Moses was keeping his eye both on the world but on the Lord at the same time. He's seeing the problem with the world like we see. But he was trying to keep his eye on the reward, and he was trying to keep his eye on God and what was better and what was the better alternative in this world. That's what Torben's doing too, in a way. I listened to these three pieces of advice on effective win people to Christ. He says that one of the biggest problems, I think, with people in salvation, that they're bringing people into Christianity or even talking to people, is first they'll just ask them, you know, hey, you don't want to go to hell, do you? And I say, well, no, I don't want to go to hell. I mean, you really don't want to go to hell, right? You don't want to burn. No, I don't want to go. He says, no, nobody wants to go to hell. But how many of them want to have Jesus as Lord? You know, we're offering people, he said, salvation. The churches are trying to offer them an alternative to hell. But they're not offering them, hey, this is what they did in the New Testament. You repented of your sins. And you got baptized. And then you became a disciple. He says, that's the alternative. That's what they did in the Old Testament. And it wasn't about, hey, we're going to save you from going to hell, or we want to give you salvation. It was about, well, this is the gospel. You find out about hell, and then you find out about, maybe you know about there's going to be a judgment, but hey, we repent from our sins. We want to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We become obedient. If we haven't been baptized, we get baptized. And he's talking about repentance first before baptism. He says, and he talks about baptism later, and another thing about, hey, what if you don't ever get baptized, but you're still a believer? He goes into that. But then he says, then you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. He says, you turn your life over. He becomes your Lord. He says, a lot of people don't have Jesus as their Lord. They want salvation. They want a fix for their situation, but they're not willing to make Jesus Lord in their life. And that's something I thought, whoa, that's a good examination. Is Jesus my Lord? I mean, are we really trying to make Jesus Lord in everything of our life? And so we look at these people of faith in Hebrews. They've got quite a list of things they were called out for being people of faith. But they became people of faith because they dedicated their lives. They wouldn't turn. They didn't deviate from the path. They knew what their hope was, or hope was in God. And you can have faith in a lot of things, but is your faith in the Lord? Is your faith in Him being your Lord? Or is your faith in yourself still? That's an interesting aspect he was bringing out about people when you're trying to bring people into the kingdom. He says, pray that you don't just witness, because then if you do bring somebody to the kingdom, then you got to spend time with them. They're babies. They don't know anything. He said, you got to nurture these people and bring them up, because they don't know anything. You got to make them a disciple. You got to disciple them. He says, you just don't say, oh, you're saved, and walk off, because they're probably going to fade away and not go anywhere unless God's really grabbed their heart and they're running for it. He says, pray for the Lord to send people into the camp that are anxious to become, you know, followers of Jesus, disciples, who want Jesus as his Lord. Those are the ones that are going to want to bring into the kingdom. Everybody else just wants to be saved. They want fire insurance, but they're not really making Jesus Lord yet. He says, not that they won't be sometime, maybe. But he says, that's important. He says, you know, you can witness and save a lot of people, and a year later, they might not even be on the same path. They might have forgot all about it. You know, you might have convinced them they needed to get baptized, and that's as far as it went. They just got wet. They don't want to go any farther. So he says, and I agree with that. You know, you got to think about, you know, we're looking for people we want to bring into the kingdom, that because they want to be in the kingdom. We're looking for the elect. Ask God to put people in your path that have a desire to know Jesus, have a desire to come in the faith and understanding that we all desire to have. And we, I still never feel like it's enough. I'm still wanting more. You know, I just wanted to just vent that a little bit.
Amen. Anybody else want to comment on these verses? I got a question. Let me just throw this question at you. On verse 40, God having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What's he talking about there? Go ahead, Tim.
I think he's talking about the righteousness that God grants those that believe. That's the only way you're going to be perfect and righteous is through God's gift of righteousness.
Okay. Well, listen, God having provided some better thing concerning us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Go ahead, Wade.
Resurrection of the just.
What's that?
The resurrection of the just.
Okay. The resurrection of the just. Okay. Anybody else? Pat?
I was thinking of that, just those words that apart from us, they shall not be made perfect. That word perfect means complete. And I guess what brings back to my mind is the body of Christ, that the Lord, came to harvest a body from the earth. And that body obviously is everybody of faith, having been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. And that body is that complete entity that the Lord is harvesting from the earth. So I think that's what it speaks to me about is kind of the complete. And I think that what the Lord is doing with us in these end days obviously is complete, is different than what he was doing in those days. He was doing foundational work then, and a lot of the work that he was doing then in them is a foundation building for us to take advantage of and to complete through our sacrifice of our life to the Lord as we participate in his life. And the Lord, I thought about that scripture that David talks about. This is one that kind of hit me in Isaiah 54:1. It says, and this kind of hit me as something that even in my kind of testimony here or confession of covering up that light and being kind of separated and crushed and pushed down and kind of set to the side. In Isaiah 54:1, he says, "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud. Thou that didst not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord." And in that, I was kind of saying that God is going to raise He's going to raise us from the dead life of this modern apostate Christianity that we're dwelling in these days. And he is going to raise life out of those ashes somehow, only the way that the Lord can do. And he's just, I believe he's speaking to us to give praise to him that this is what he's doing. He's raising life out of death, and he's telling us to enlarge the place of thy tent, stretch forth thy curtains and prepare, get everything ready, prepare, open up, because he's going to fill this vessel. And when this vessel is filled and anointed, that he's going to bring in his people. Some of the things I know that I hesitate sometimes to speak to people about becoming a Christian, and I know I shouldn't, but when you say something to a lot of people around here, you say Christian, that means something. It goes, that's, it's a defined as a particular thing. And a Christian means something. And I think back at the words, even the original words when they said in Acts, I believe, that these people were called Christians. They were called Christians by the world. What the world calls a Christian isn't necessarily what God calls a Christian, and we can see that by looking out over the landscape. And I think what people really deep down inside are looking for are real Christians. Real people of God, real people that walk in the faith, in that Hebrews 11 type faith. And I just look forward. I think that I have to point to myself as being as guilty as I know that we are in these times of apostasy in this world condition and whatnot. So in one sense we can say, well, it's, you know, this apostate world, we can, you know, it's a rough life. You just gotta, you know, suck it up, tuck and run and hold, you know, and make it through this process, etc. But the Lord intends us to be victorious and stand out apart from this apostate system. And I know that, and part of that process is taking this apostasy out of me and setting me free from it in all those aspects. I'm taken back at my own personal responsibility to find God in a strong way in order to be cooperative with him and his spirit to see that happen in my life and in the lives of those around me. And I'm just struggling to find this scripture. I was reading this yesterday when Solomon dedicated the temple in Second Chronicles chapter 7 verse 11, and he was saying, and he had just got through praying and dedicating the temple, and God sent his spirit down, sent his holiness down and burnt up the sacrifice, etc. And then he came to Solomon that night, and he said, and the Lord appeared to Solomon by night in verse 12, and he said unto him, I've heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. And I don't know if I had talked about this before, but it hit me at that time that he was telling Solomon that this is the place that I've chosen for myself for a place of sacrifice. And then, then in the next couple of verses, he describes it. I feel like I'm even repeating myself, but he said, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this place. And I know that he was dedicating, God was confirming his acceptance of this temple, but I think he was pointing to a greater temple, a temple that he had made, and in an environment that he creates in his people to allow him to enter in, allow us to enter into that place with him. And I believe it's through confession and openness and honesty and recognizing these circumstances that the Lord brings in our life. If I shut up the heavens so there is no rain, and I'll tell you what, in the last month or so, I have felt like the heavens are shut up to me, like I am dry as a bone, and aching for God to set me free. And I know these, it almost sounds like they're words of unbelief or a lack of faith. I should be praising God for setting me free as he has done so in his word. Yet I seem to be drugged down into the inertia of this world system. But these are all things that he has allowed. He's brought into our environment. If I shut up the heavens that there's no rain, if I command the locusts to devour that environment around you, if I send sickness and pestilence among my people, then he says, if my people who are called by my name, and that is us. I know that there's, I don't think the Lord is saying if that overwhelming realm of what is called Christianity out there in the world calls on him and prays that it will necessarily happen. However, if they humble themselves according to this word and confess their sin and see their sin before God and confess their sin, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways, I believe God will heal their environment as he will heal our environment. But the thing that hit me is he said, for now I have chosen and hallowed this house, this place, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And I don't think he's talking they're going to be there over there in that stack of stones in Jerusalem that's called a temple. I think he's talking about this environment of responding to the conditions of opposition in your life and humbling yourselves and confessing your sin and praying. And I believe that that is a significant and important part of even us as a group here, to be willing to confess our sins, pray for one another, for that's the part of the body. That's this part of the body that the rest is not going to be complete until we have been perfected in this environment, in this confession of Christ within us. So I'm starting to ramble. Maybe I'm finishing up rambling, but anyway, I'm through.
Okay, go ahead, Missy. No, that's good, Pat. That was good.
What had come to me was Ephesians 4, but then looking for that, I wasn't quite sure I knew it was Ephesians, but I came to another section in Ephesians. So there's two sections of Ephesians that come to that I think apply to this, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Ephesians 2:11 to 21, for anybody that wants to follow along. Wherefore, remember that once ye, the Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hand, that ye were at that time separate from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye that once were far off are made nigh in the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made us both one, and break down the middle wall partition, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law's commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body unto God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to them that were nigh. For through him we have our access in one spirit unto the Father. So then ye are no more strangers and sojourners, but ye are fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, being built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom each several building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. And then over in Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ, till we all attain unto the unity of faith, unto the unity of the faith and of this knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that ye may be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the craftiness after the wiles of air. I could go on and on because, you know, Paul has run on sentences. But anyway, so that's what I thought of, you know, the none of us are perfected until we're all made one, you know. We're all made one in one body, brought together and made one in one body. And that's done through the apostles and the prophets, you know.
That's done through the blood of Christ, isn't it?
Yeah, the teaching, which they teach that, yeah. Exactly. So yeah, that's what came to me.
Well, that's kind of where I was headed. That's what I was looking for right there. Is it takes both the old and the new to make the whole, doesn't it? The old was the type and the shadow, but then when Christ came, when we're in that part now where the promises have been given to us, and all we have to do is by faith receive them, right? And that promises is the holiness that God wants us to walk. And that's that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. In other words, the resurrection, excuse me, the resurrection of Christ made their part perfect, just like it made our part perfect. When Jesus went back down below, what did he do? He gave them the gospel, and they accepted it, and off they went. That made them perfect. They went up there. Here we are. We got the same thing. So that's kind of what I was, that's kind of the same avenue that I was going at, that I was thinking too.
What came to my mind too was when he went and preached to them in paradise or whatever, you know, went down and preached to them and preached the gospel to them. Yeah, that's, I thought of that too. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Now they had faith back then. A lot of them had great faith, bold faith. But the promises was with the Christ and his blood, right? So here we go. All right, anybody else want to comment on that? Are we right or are we wrong? Or anybody else got some other avenue? You know, it's not that I'm right, you're wrong. Anybody else? It all works together. It all works together. Go ahead, George.
The same thing that made them sons of Abraham makes us sons of Abraham, the faith in Jesus. They looked forward to him, and we get to read about him, and we live with him, and we can boldly come before the throne, whereas they had to have a mediator, and we don't have to. We got Jesus. We can boldly come and be sons. This is what the angels and everybody's looked forward to. Everybody,
amen.
Cheering
amen.
Us on to the end.
And we got Jesus right here, don't we?
Yes,
Lord of God, he's living right with us, and all we have to do is know it. That's it. All we got to do is know it. Praise God.
I want to encourage everybody too. I've been coming along with UBM and storing the studies and listening to them for years and years, and it's no light thing. I remember the first time I came over to Pensacola and met some of those brothers, and they told me, you know, people sometimes can't handle, they get so excited about truth, but they fly out just as fast as they come in because they get up, you know, they get puffed up with knowledge instead of growing and discipling, like the brother was saying. And it's no small thing to have come into a group like this and have, I mean, it's sharing everything. It's, you know, the work that goes into it, David pouring himself into scriptures, Michael's encouragement. I mean, there's a wealth. I mean, only God could do something, and God is doing it and has been doing it. And to keep filling up on the deeper things of the word and getting beyond the pictures and the types and falling in love with the Old Testament again. I mean, It is so hard to read the Old Testament if you don't understand the everything that comes alive since you get into some of this stuff. And it's just a renewed love of everything. So if there's anybody needing encouragement, you're walking amongst people who have no clue, and you're so full of power and truth, you don't even realize that wherever you're going, there's people that need, you know, you're carrying the power of God in your hands. If you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. You know, there's a lot of authority and power already available to us, and that love that we know, and the world is, you know, it'll eat it up if we let it out. So if anybody's needing to be encouraged, you've got what you need. God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you, George. Go ahead, Missy.
You know, I've been thinking about this whole thing here real recently, too, about, you know, just like not, you know, feeling like I'm not speaking to others or having the opportunity or whatever to speak to others, you know, out of, you know, when I'm out, you know, about doing things, you know, shopping or whatever, you know. And I was just talking to the Lord about that, you know, and since we're on this subject, you know, I just, my thought is you know, for anyone or anybody, you know, that maybe Michael, you could pray for us all that the Lord just put in us that pour out His Spirit on us, put us a new fervor and fire in us, you know, that the Lord would just bring people across our paths and put a boldness on us and just you know, we don't have to wait until the Lord pours out His Spirit, you know, that, you know, man child or anything like that, you know. I want to be doing that stuff now, and I feel like, you know, I just want to be talking about the Lord to people, and I don't know if it's just me or if it's just, I don't know, you know, I don't know, maybe I'm just, you know.
Well, can I tell you something here? You know, when you get together with like-minded believers, if you'll come excited about the Lord, excited about what you're going to hear from the Lord, if you come expecting, guess what's going to happen? It's going to happen. You're going to get that. Hi, Bethany. I saw her come through the door and turn around. Anyway, that's, you know, when you come together, when we come together, I'm always, sometimes I come expecting, sometimes I don't. I don't get nothing when I don't come expecting. I don't get anything when I come expecting. But when I come expecting and excited about it and then pray, when we come together, guess what happened? God shows up for you. It might not for anybody else, but for you He does. God's there with you when you are there for God. Amen. I just want to encourage everybody, anytime you get together here or with somebody that you know as a believer, you know, just go to them excited about what God's going to do with you. And He'll do it. Yeah, Willie.
Look, finding this microphone on this iPad drives me crazy.
Well, you done got yourself an iPad, huh? Okay. They're pretty handy, too.
I'm an Android guy myself, you know. I just got this for specific reasons.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Besides that, I'll touch nothing else, Apple. yeah. To Mitzi, was that you talking? Was that Mitzi that talked? Okay, yeah. I had the same thoughts, you know, that you're going through right now. I just want to be mobile right now. I just want to do for God right now, you know. And one of the things that, you know, the Lord was showing me was that, you know, you're not building a relationship of love with me. You're ready to outsource. You know, but it's the love of God, you know, the primary thing, you know, that's in you. Is it in you first, you know? I follow one of those things that, oh my God, I'm forgetting names. This is getting terrible. But one of the readings that was from last time when the guy was like, you know, bless your bill collector, bless this person, bless that person. And I said, you know, Lord, I don't spend any time blessing anybody. You know, I don't spend any time, you know, speaking words of grace over people. You know, I'm looking at a person and they say, I'm judging you about this, or I'm saying something about that, or I got my thoughts about this, or this lust is flying up somewhere. And so, you know, but one of the things the Lord was teaching me about becoming mobile, you know, becoming effective for him, you know, is, you know, put away, let's put away all of our ideas for a second. You know, I want to do this. I want to be the man child. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do so many things for you, God, you know. And the Lord was showing me, you know, this is not a work-based, you know, faith. You're not going to get credits from me, you know. Am I the, you know, it's about once you have that love relationship with him, he'll bring people out of the woodworks for you. Because he's already ordained who needs the witness of Jesus Christ. He's already ordained who needs the testimony of Jesus Christ. We just need not to be ashamed of him in our hearts, you know, where he's supposed to have the preeminence, you know. I'm not saying that you're not doing that. I when I speak a lot about myself, you know, and what he's doing with me. And when I find some similarities, I'll just bring it up. I remember I was sitting here, I was saying to the Lord, you know, I want a wife, you know. And the Lord said to me, you know, why? You know, if I, you know, he said, if I'm not the comforter in that area, if I give you a wife, you're going to hurt her, or you're going to destroy her. He just showed it to me plainly like that. He said, if I'm not the comforter in that area before I give you a wife, you're not going to be able to lead her. You're going to end up with the same situation you had before. And I understood it. You know, it's a very hard thing to desire something from God and then examine your own heart and say, well, is the Lord the comforter in that area, or am I looking, you know, for comfort or type of achievement from the Lord, you know, from what, from the things, you know, that I can receive from him. And so I'm learning, you know, myself that, you know, is Christ, you know, the comforter? You know, Lord, I want a witness for you. Okay, that's good, you know, but, you know, am I the comforter in that area, you know? Or do you have anxieties because you're not witnessing for me, or you're not talking to enough people you feel you need to be talking to, or you're not as agile as you feel you should be, or you don't have that husband or that wife, you know, or you don't have that gift or the son or whatever, you know? The only gift that's going to really get you in heaven is love. Out of all of them, you can zero everything else out. You know, love would be the only one that's going to get you there. And so I examine myself for, like, where he's not the comforter, you know, because I'm not going to be able to endure with a person, you know, if Christ, if the comforter, if God is not my comforter in that area, you know, I'm not going to be able to endure with talking to a person about Christ, being gentle, being long-suffering, being patient, being apt to teach, you know, having faith without fear, you know, not being shook in a time of trouble and adversity, you know, not being angry or becoming embittered, you know, if the comforter doesn't have dominion in that area. Before we go, and I'm not saying how you're thinking or anything like that. I'm just talking about myself. This is what he was doing. This is what he has been doing with me. You know, I'm not going to be able to endure with people. I don't got a lot of patience with people at work today. You know, and so I've just been saying to the Lord, you know, anyone that I've had lack of patience with, I'll turn around. I say, you know, Lord, I just ask that you bless them. And it's been changing me. And the Lord's been opening up little small opportunities to talk to people, but not in the way of going beyond his comfort. You know, is it in his comfort zone? And if it's not in his comfort zone, you know, we find ourselves in a place of the canker worm and the palmer worm and the locust, you know, they start coming in and devouring those things. And you're like, Lord, why? I was doing it for you. And, you know, well, was that, you know, were we? Imagine if God would give us all of our achievements that we desire from him right now. Lord, I want to be a bold witness. Lord, I want to talk to a lot of people. No, Lord, I want to heal. Lord, I want to raise the dead. Lord, I want to do all these. I want to do all these mighty things, and God gave it to you in that day immediately. You know, I used to sorrow because I wasn't doing things for God all the time. I will always feel heavy. Serving God, for me, there was absolutely no pleasure whatsoever. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because I constantly looked at my walk in Christ as if I am not achieving, I am not serving. You know, if, you know, I am not healing, if I am not witnessing, if I am not, it was always, I based my walk on, if I'm not achieving, I'm not serving. You know, and I kind of never looked at love. You know, I looked at it as a work-based faith. This is a job. We got to go to work. You know, we get paid at the end of the job because we worked for it. You know, I had no pleasure. I had absolutely no pleasure. To this day, I'm learning what love is. You know, till this day, I am trying, you know, I want from the Lord to know what love is, you know, and I'm not going to pretend like I got that. I don't got that completely, you know. I know you grow in it. We're supposed to grow in it. But I spent a lot of my walk in Christ, a very miserable, unfulfilled, wishy-washy, double-minded, struggling, you know, in fear, condemnation, rejection. I had all of that. In part, you know, what felt like the wheel within the wheel of all of that is that I am not achieving enough. That's why I don't have this. I am not doing this enough. This is why, you know, I'm not close to God. I am not being this enough. So I would always try to base on getting close to God on achievements, you know. And it was always achievements. It was always achievements for me. You know, I've had, you know, had to deal with all kinds of issues, abandonment issues, rejection issues. And it all stirs, it's all stirring there in the pot, you know, until the Lord started dealing with me. You have to, you know, about him being the comforter and what that means, you know, and how desperately and how greatly, and you won't be able to complete this walk without it. You know, that love of God has the ordinance of your entire life for what fruit you will bring forth in him. That's just how, you know, I'm just speaking from the knowledge I have about it, and how the Lord's been dealing with me. But I'm done, you know, because I used to get really beat. I felt like nothing when I felt like I just wasn't being enough of a witness, preaching enough to enough people, wasn't having enough faith to lay hands on somebody when they were sick. You know, wasn't being enough of a brother and calling people, you know, often. And, you know, if I didn't have that relationship with God, I'm not going to have it with anybody else. Period. And so he's been teaching me, you know, and I've been asking him for grace and power to perform. All right, I'm done.
Amen, really. That's some good stuff. We all go through that. I hadn't done enough. You know, I got to work. I got to do something. You got to do nothing but get your eyes on Jesus. That's all we got to do. Keep our eyes on him. Amen. What do you think, Andrew?
Well, my verse was in chapter 16 of John, the 13th verse. And it actually, I started with that verse and it went into a study. But I was doing a study on everywhere it probably says the word spirit. And
you said John 16?
16, 13.
Okay.
And in the numeric English New Testament, it says, but when that one comes, the Spirit of the truth, he shall guide you into all the truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but what things soever he heareth, these shall he speak, and he shall declare to you the things to come. You know, when you're amongst people who can do that, and we are amongst people who have done that with us and has declared to us things to come, and that spirit of truth there just kind of gets into you and it leads you, and it guide you. You guys have had this happen to you, okay? Where that spirit of truth is just guiding you into this little thing, or even a big thing, you know? And it just happens. And you know, I like what it says up there in about the spirit of truth up there in chapter 15:26. But when the Comforter is come, you know, and right there is where it hit me, you know, that's the is come that's in 1 John 4:2. When the Comforter is come, who I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of the truth, who goeth forth from the Father, he shall witness of me, and witness ye also. So who's doing the witness here? That Spirit of God that's in you, the Holy and the Anointed, he will make you that witness. He's going to give this witness. We've all witnessed here on this conference call, because ye are with me from the beginning. And of course, there's a predestination in there for that one. You know, and it led me on. I've got my whole study on my clipboard here, written point notes, and and even today when Missy read something in Ephesians 2:18 there, it also there was that spirit of from the Father given to us, and you know. There's a bunch of references here where you get the, you know, Revelation 19:10, the spirit of prophecy. You know, you guys are endowed with the spirit of prophecy because someone received that spirit of prophecy and related to you here on God's Unleavened Bread Bible Ministry. Okay. And it's not David Eales' ministry. It's the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, and it's so exciting to have a person that gets these revelations from God to relate to us, so that you can have these revelations now. And there's over there in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 8. You know, this is not really a place that it's talking about a mouth there, someone with a spirit-filled mouth that's coming against things. And who is that? That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And 2 and 8. Who's got that mouth that's the spirit there? We know it's Jesus, but it's Jesus where? You guys know where that Jesus is now. And but then there's Romans 8 and 2. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So there you got some life there from Jesus. This is the new spirit of life in you. You know, the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. And of course, it frees you. You know, and of course, then I was taken to that verse just before the verse we all love there about the unleavened face there. And it talks about where the spirit of the Lord is liberty. Not this liberty that the world's trying to give you, trying to make everything free, but this spirit of liberty. And of course, 2, 3, and 6 is another one for life. And then he took me out to the word comforter. You know, when Willie was talking about comforter, it showed me over there in 2 Thessalonians 2 and 16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, our Father, who loved us and gave eternal comfort, eternal life, the eternal spirit of that comforter that we have received from him. And good hope. So here you got within that eternal comforter, the good hope, and there's only one that's good. Jesus said so, and that's God. And in grace, so there's a spirit there associated with this grace that you're receiving. You know, what does it say about grace there? Because in his fullness, we all receive. We all received, past tense, grace, the grace upon grace. And we ask for more grace. And by faith, he gives you this grace. When he leads you in a study like this, it's all grace. He's showing you where to go to the next verse. And it's exciting for you to learn. It's exciting for you to say, Jesus, guide me in my teaching here. Show me where these verses are. And of course, the word comforts right up. Good hope and in grace, comfort your hearts and establish in every good work and word. So there's the spirit of this work and the spirit of this word. Ephesians 2 and 10 would have that work there. It's been quoted a few times. Thank you, Pat, for reminding me about that one. And I'm not thanking you. I'm going to thank Christ in you. And well, glory to God. Praise God. You know, Galatians, the last verse there, talks about the spirit of God that was in the Apostle Paul. And they gave glory to God for that spirit that was in Paul. And I give glory to God for the spirit that is in this conference call and in these people that have spoken all the days they have spoken. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Boy, that's a lot. That is a lot. Okay. Anyone else? Denny? How's it going, brother?
Yeah. Well, starting with, you know, George's verse about, and then what Dave shared and Missy and the different ones shared about that. It seemed like God, he revealed his purpose as he went on. They may not, you know, Abraham was looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. Of course, we know now it's a new Jerusalem, which is coming down in our day. I mean, that's how, you know, we go all the way back to Abraham. And Moses, you know, Dave shared about Moses looking for the future thing, you know. And I just had to finish in 1 Corinthians 15. It talks about when Christ, that, you know, Christ subdues all our enemies and everything is put under his feet. And then Christ himself puts himself under the Father. And in the end, the Father is all in all, you know, and he rules over all. But I don't know, it just seemed like it's an unfolding revelation that, you know, and that's going to include the Jews and the Gentiles, like Missy said. But anyway, and it's going to answer Abraham's prayer of, you know, desire. He was seeing it as a city. And anyway, there's probably more, you know, more understanding that's even beyond that I'm not quite seeing yet. So thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Yeah, there's a lot of verses that y'all went through that we could spend a week, a year forgetting, because they're all, a lot of them were very rich and deep. So anybody else got some comments on Hebrews 11, 39 and 40? Or any other as far as that goes. Leon? Is he asleep? Okay. I know you are not, just kidding. All right.
I have a verse in Hebrews, Michael.
Okay, Deborah.
I had Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. I can't think, kind of ties, I can see kind of going with everything else that's been discussed. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead, great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And it's like, if we just keep that in our, before us, that God equips us. We want him to equip us. We ask him to equip us with the faith to whatever his will is, to do his work. Whether it's praying for people, you know, intercessor, but it's all... pleasing to please him, you know. So I always think that we're discussing about being used for the Lord, getting out there and doing this and doing that. It's like if we just fill our vessels with the word and put on what we receive from the word from him, and then just go forth and trust him. We know that we're going to glorify him, not ourselves. So, but he will equip us.
Amen. He definitely will. He has. He's already done it. Amen. Yeah, Leon. You want me to unmute you?
Yeah, okay. Please.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, thanks. I kind of agree with everybody, actually. Everybody had a good word tonight. But I kind of feel like I should be witnessing more. But the fact is that God has not equipped me to witness sufficiently. It's kind of like Willie was saying, you know, it's not that I want to do anything on my own and press in to just do something. I want to be sufficiently filled with the Spirit, and I want to let the Lord present that situation, plus give me the words. And I'm not saying that I'm going to slough off or anything like that, but I'm not going to press more just to talk than wait for the Lord. So everything was great tonight, I think, and I just feel like I have to wait. I need to learn a little more. I need to be led by the Spirit to do these things, and I will reach out to people, but I'm not going to press it. I'm not going to press it and just say things out of my own soul. I want to say them out of the soul of the Spirit. So I hope everybody understands that. It's been said several different ways, but that's basically, I agree with that, and I would stick with that plan.
Amen. I agree with that, Leo. You need to be led by the Spirit. When you're led by the Spirit, you'll affect a lot more people. You know? That's good.
Right.
That's awesome.
Well, what you can do is you can touch a person. If the person is drawn by the Father and you have the words of the Spirit, you have the words of the Father, then you can make a bigger impact on them than if you just corner them and say, you got to get saved. You don't want to go to hell. Somebody mentioned that. You don't want to go to hell. You want to be saved, and so on and so forth. So I would rather be led by the Father and the Spirit and let him set the situation up and do it through him, and it would be a greater impact in that regard.
Amen.
So
that's true. Okay, Joe, go ahead, brother.
No, I want to second that with what you just said, Leon. That's kind of where I'm at. I'm just like, because I was listen to what you said, Missy. I mean, I can relate with that. I mean, I had that kind of fervor that, you know, I got to do something. But I remember what you said, Dave, about a month or two ago, at least, the religious spirits in you, they get you going. And, you know, what you said, Mike, when I think I let those spirits go out the last so many years. I mean, since I've come back to you being within the last 6 months, maybe a little more than that. I mean, I feel like I did too much damage, you know, with the rejection and all that other stuff. You know, I had no idea what love was. I mean, I struggle with it, you know, and I mean, I would just like flippantly say it. Oh, yeah, you know, I love you. Love you too, you know, and all that. And I didn't believe it. But I mean, I think with that attitude, it's like I got to get out there and share my faith. I got to do. I did too much damage. And I was one of those individuals like, you're going to hell. You know, you need to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. What are you going to do? You know, you could die today. And I mean, because I was in so many various churches, but I think I'm kind of at a point now where God is stripping me of all that. You know, I mean, I feel so and I think this is where God wants me to be. Because I mean, I would hear David's testimonies. It's just the awesome things that God has done through him. You know, as a vessel to be used. And I mean, it keeps me more and more, which I think, yeah, I mean, this is where God wants me to be. You know, it's like to realize, wow, I'm nothing. You know, I mean, and I don't say that, I think, you know, because I used to listen to that spirit of rejection. Oh, yeah, you're nothing, Joe. God doesn't love you. You know, you're totally worthless. But in the sense that, no, you're nothing without me. You know, you can't do it. You can't manifest this. You can't do any of that. And so, like you said, Leon, you know, it's like I want to be led by the Spirit to witness to people. I don't want to react in the flesh or, you know, just throw out some knowledge there that I have. Cause I mean, I used to do that all the time. And I mean, you know, despite that, I would look at people and thinking, you know, I'd see them kind of walk off or lose interest. And I was thinking that's the last thing I want to do anymore. I mean, it's like as late of an hour we're in and, you know, realizing where we're at, it's just like, I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be in that spot where God can really use me. And I mean, I can just speak a word and all of a sudden, you know, watch God at work. Cause I think there was an old testimony of, I heard someone say, get to a point where I think Smith Wigglesworth, you know, when he was alive, I think they said, I forget what it was about, but I think he went up to somebody and just said, Jesus loves you. You know, the simplest phrase. And he was so full of, you know, the Spirit and so moved to just say it. And that person just broke down in tears, you know, and felt the love of God. And I'm thinking, you know, from time to time I pray, God, get me to a point. Get me to where I can do something like that for you. You know, I mean, I don't want to do it for my own, you know, build myself up or make myself feel good. I mean, because if I'm at that point, I'm not going to be doing it for that reason. But just right now where I'm at is like, God, get me to that point. You know, to where I'm so led by the Holy Spirit that, you know, I could just say the same thing or say something like that and just watch the Spirit work. You know, so, yeah, I mean, yeah. So I think that's where I'm at now. God is trying to work all that old stuff out of me and put in a solid foundation. You know, because, I mean, it's easier being in Babylon for so many years and being in all that confusion and apostasy. He's got to strip us of that first. I mean, I think I realized that early on. He's got to strip all that out, gut out the house, so to speak, and then lay in that foundation that he wants to. And so I think that's what he's doing with me right now. So.
Okay, Joe. Thank Amen. You so much.
Amen.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, I read this today. I know you, everybody else, is for whoever has this book has read already in the Power of Praise. I just liked it. I like what he said. This is, of course, from Merlin Crothers, page 17. Many of us are constantly defeated by the circumstances around us because we aren't ready to accept the battle as God's and not ours. Even when we realize our own powerlessness to cope with the enemy, we are afraid to let go and trust ourselves to God's power. This is where we've allowed our own understanding to assume the wrong position in our lives. We say, I don't understand. Therefore, I don't dare believe. God's word makes it clear that the only way out of the dilemma is a step of faith on our part. Believing that God's promises are true, accepting them, and daring to trust in them leads us to understanding. The principle in the Bible is clear. Acceptance comes before understanding. The reason for this is simple. Our human understanding is so limited, that we can't possibly grasp the magnitude of God's plan and a purpose for us. If our understanding has to come before our acceptance, we will never be able to accept very much. You know, we're all trying to move forward, but, you know, if we don't let go and trust and accept it, and, you know, have faith for where we're at, know that God's work is going to be completed in what we're seeking to have done in our life, we're just trying to move forward on our own understanding all the time. And we're limiting God in our life. If we just got to receive it and believe it and then praise God for it, and don't go get hung up on, well, I just don't get it, because that's where you're going to constantly be stumbling, because you don't believe that God's got this in control, because he put you there to make you weak. He put you there to in a place that you can't fix it. You're not going to do any better. Oh, you might try. We've all tried, haven't we? We've done a good job. Yeah. We've got some things to think about, the mistakes we've made trying to fix things all the time. You know, maybe it's time just to sit back and say, God, I love you. I don't have to understand this, but I'm just going to believe what your word says and count on you to do your work in our life and all our lives. And we're just going to see it go through, because you're the one that's going to create this beautiful bride and Jesus Christ in me and all these wonderful promises. It's you. It's your battle. It's your promises. It's your way. I just got to let go. I just got to start trusting God for these things and not looking at my circumstances. Not that I'm saying I can't look at them, because prior to that, Jehoshaphat had a circumstance. He knew what the circumstances were, but he chose to say, you know what, Lord, I can't. This is beyond me and above me. I'm too weak. I can't take care of this strong enemy. I'm just going to praise you and thank you. And the Lord fought the battle for him. That's all he wanted. He just wanted us to recognize him. He wanted us to recognize everything that's happening here today. Difficulties, whatever, is if we're not letting go and trusting God, well, he can't help us.
Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
Can I pray for us, Colossians 1:9, for all of us? I think we all need. He says, Father, please fill us with your knowledge of your will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Thank you. Amen.
Amen. That's a good prayer, too. Thank you, Father, for the understanding that we need. Now, thank you, Lord, that you're going to give it to us. Well, Lord, we thank you for another good night tonight. It was an awesome night. Everybody gave something that was very good. And, Lord, we just thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that Thursday night's going to be the same. We're going to have another good night of just talking about you, Lord. Lord, during the next day or so, teach us more that love that you have in your heart. Give us more of that love in our heart. And like Missy was talking about earlier, Lord, give us a fire in our very being to want to know more out of your word and to ask you for wisdom and discernment out of your word, Lord. We ask that. Put a hunger in our heart for the word, Lord. And like George was talking about, it just becomes exciting once you get in the Word, and you start opening up these little verses that we, you know, kind of overlooked before. But we get into them now, we understand them a little bit better because you're the one that's giving us that wisdom. We praise you for it, Father. We ask that you continue to do that, continue to work in each and every one of us. Out of this great word that you've given us, Father, we thank you that we are on this side of the resurrection, and we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, that you're going to be with us the next few days until we come together again Thursday night. And we ask that you bless that one too. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, folks. Bless you.
Amen.
Amen.